Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dalton Thomas Vann Jr. And I've been privileged enough to stand before you today to try to get you to understand this man that God created. And I want you to understand something about this man that he wanted you to understand. That's all he was a man that God created. Once again, I say my full name because what's in a name? And I think you'll find that out today as well. 88 years ago today, January 15th, 1929, a young black baby was born. And his name was Michael King Jordan, Jr. Now, my mama's looking at me crazy right now saying, the boy done messed up already. He messed up his name. Mama didn't mess up his name. He was born Michael King Jr. I did not know that. Can anybody else raise their hand or admit to me that they did not know that either? Amen. Oh yeah, remember the rules when Coach Van comes up. When I say amen, you say amen. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to do something. I told this morning when we prayed, we said, it's cold out there, but it'll be hot in here when we speak and talk to each other. Amen? All right, we're waking up a little bit. His father was a pastor. His father took a trip over to Germany and got so inspired by a Protestant religious leader by the name of Martin Luther that he came home and changed his name to Martin Luther King Sr. Therefore, what he did for his son was change his name to Martin Luther King Jr. As he went about his young life, Martin was influenced by his father, huge influenced by his father, the African American church, influenced by his education, and the deep-seated, segregated South in which he lived in. His father was so strong about the South that he tried to raise his kids just to prepare for what the South had offered for him. Sometimes that meant whooping it into him. You're going to be something. You're going to be tough. It's my job to make you tough. Forget all the formal parenting rules. You need to be tough to take on what this world has for you. Martin Luther King was born into what we would consider today to be a midstream family. He wasn't poor. By all means, in the black community, he was looked upon as having money. His father was a prominent pastor and looked on as a leader in the community. Martin had things that other young black poor children didn't have at the time. So he was afforded education, he was afforded books, and so he loved big words. And he spitted those big words out to people, sometimes getting himself out of trouble. A well-educated young boy, but also the influences of where he was at, the South, in which he couldn't do things or go places. So in order to understand someone, you have to understand where they grew up, who they were parented by, and the situations that made this man who he was. Martin couldn't step up to a food counter and just order some food. He had to go to a certain place. If he was out in public, he couldn't go to just any restroom. He had to go to the black restroom. He couldn't go to a movie theater. He had to go to a certain movie theater. Those rules stuck in him. And one particular day, they were driving home from the grocery store, and he was pulled over by the police officer, his dad driving him in the passenger on the passenger side as a young boy. The police officer came up to his dad and said and addressed his dad as boy. Martin had always looked at his father as being this strong, strong man who corrected those who were wrong. In a way, not drawing the line, not crossing the line, but actually telling the man, hey, you're wrong. So what he told the police officer said, sir, please let me understand this. I am not a boy. This is a boy. I am a man. And Martin took that day and it started to fester in him. Why? Why, when I read this book that my father continuously tells me to read, it tells me I am equal. It tells me that I am a young boy of Christ, but yet I've been treated as though I'm a second-class citizen in my own town. That festered with him. The influence of the South kept rolling on to Martin, but he kept studying. He kept trying to figure out a way. And then it became a 15-year-old boy. 15-year-old boy leaving to go to college. He's off to Morehouse now, and he's studying. And he's getting his own ways. And you know, as a teenager, sometimes you start to rebel. So Martin starts to rebel a little bit. He finds out there's a world outside of his daddy's teaching in the church. But all along, he kept studying in the books. And before you knew it, he became this leader that he did not even know he would be. See, God has a plan for you. Let me put it this way. Martin's daddy, which they called him Daddy King, had a plan for his son to send him off to college at 15, graduate, come back and preach with me. But if you know anything about a man's plan, sometimes God looks at those man's plans and he laughs at them. Amen? So Martin is now starting to change. So much that instead of going the route that his father wants him to go, he leaves and goes to seminary school up in Pennsylvania. Martin goes to Crozer Theological Seminary. And for the first time in his life, he's away from the South. He sees an integrated America that he had never seen before. And he said, wow. And like a lot of us who have been born in the inner city and you leave to the suburbs, we go through this thing called culture shock. And now Martin is shocked. One day he gets up out of his dorm room and he sees a white woman cleaning. And then the white woman continued to go into his room and cleaned his room and made his bed. And he stayed there in awe. He had never seen that before. He got into the cafeteria and sat down where he wanted to sit. He ate with whoever he wanted to eat with. He conversated with whoever he wanted to conversate with. Even had a relationship with a white girl, which would have never happened in the Deep South for Martin. These things opened his eyes to make him understand, yes, we are all underneath God's umbrella. And why don't I have that? And so as he left the school, broke off his relationship with the white girl simply because he knew there was no way I could take this woman back home. Interesting that racism had raised its head one more time and bit Martin again, and he became frustrated because, once again, he could not do whatever he wanted to do because of the color of his skin. As time went by, Martin came home, met Coretta Scott, married Coretta Scott, became a pastor. Him and Coretta settled in 1954. They were married in 1953. In 1954, he became the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. That's in Montgomery, Alabama. He was a well-spoken young man, a charismatic speaker. He could control a room, and pretty soon he became very, very popular in the black community. He was very well-versed in the Bible. He knew philosophy. He was a politician and didn't even know it. All of this would come to a head and be tested one day. He wasn't ready for it. Until one day in 1955, this woman was tired. She had been working all night, worked her shift, her feet were hurting. If you know anything about the South, you ride the bus. Most black Americans rode the bus, but they had to ride in the back. Rosa Parks stepped onto that bus that day, sat down, and then was asked to get up. She said, no, I'm tired. I don't want to get up. Martin didn't know anything about that. And here's that shift that God puts you on, that path that he puts you on, the one that he wants you to go on. Rosa was arrested that day for not giving up her seat. There began to be a movement that started. And with anything, any type of movement, there needs to be a leader. The obvious choice was Martin Luther King. They called him on the phone to ask him, would you lead us? He promptly said no. Just like Jonah said no. It's like Abraham had his crazy thoughts and all of those people that God had picked in the, oh yeah, when God asks you to do something, you're just going to do it, right? I figured Martin said, he doesn't have to spit me out of a whale, I'll probably just go ahead and lead. And so what happened with Martin was he said, I'm not going to be the leader, but I will certainly show up at the meeting. And they kind of chuckled at him on the phone and said to him, well, we're glad you're going to come because we already chose your church to do the meeting at. Now Martin is slung into leadership. He's there, didn't want to do it, but off at the other side of the coin, he didn't want to let everyone down. So he became this leader. He gave a group what they felt like some strength. They had this man out front leading, doing what he told them to do. So the bus boycott began. And I want you to understand about this boycott. People did not ride the bus. They stopped riding, no matter what the weather was, because of the cause. They wanted to have equal rights. They wanted to sit wherever they were. They were paying their money. Their change was dingling down through, too. They wanted to sit with it. So he led them and said, hey, we will not ride the bus. No one rides the bus. No matter how hot it is, how rainy it is, how cold it gets, I can imagine now that bus driver pulling up and opening that door and people not getting on. So he thought, yeah, this will last a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, five. It continued to go on. To me, that's amazing that these people would stand together for a cause. Together. I know right now I couldn't find 25 brothers who wouldn't get on the bus if I told them to. How many of you have trouble just getting people to come over on a Friday night to play spades with you? We're talking about thousands upon thousands of people who said, no, we're not going to get on the bus. Needless to say, history was made. They stopped writing. And when you mess with somebody's money, they tend to listen to you. Profits were going down. The movement kept getting bigger and bigger. They stopped. They became a voice. 80% of the people who rode the bus were black. 80% were black. Think about that. There's strength in numbers. There is strength in numbers. They realize it, and they stayed together. At this point, too, the choir is going to come up, and they're going to do another number. But as they're coming up, I'm going to drive home this point. Martin Luther King's house was bombed. Death threats were made. And on the night that his house was bombed, he had already started to think about a way out. Because of the death threats. And anytime you become this powerful man in America, powerful black man, you know your life is in jeopardy. But when his house was bombed, there was a big, large group of people who came in Martin's support, and they had guns and they had knives, and they said, let's go get them, let's fight back. Martin said no. The preacher in Martin came out. The man of God in Martin came out, and this is what he said. He said, if we begin to practice this eye for an eye or tooth for tooth, we will end up a nation that is blind and toothless. The boycott won. And Martin Luther King was the first African American to get on that integrated bus. And he sat where he wanted to sit. I know y'all know where he sat, right? He sat up front. He got on that bus, and when he got on that bus, black America began to change. As I continue on, this is what a point I want to drive to you. This man was a pastor first. He was a man of God. That's what he wanted to be remembered by. I purposely will not put on the screen the water hoses taking down young black people in the streets. German shepherds attacking them from police cars, the beatdowns. That's not the way he wanted to be remembered. I'm not asking you to forget those things because they did happen and they were wrong. But we have someone who will take care of that, right? Amen. So in his heart, he knew he was supposed to take the things he learned from the pulpit into the streets. And that's the way he led. I'm going to read something to you. This is how he wanted to be remembered. He stated, "Before I was a civil rights leader, I was a preacher of the gospel. This was my first calling, and it still remains my greatest commitment. You know, actually, all that I do in civil rights, I do because I'm considered part of the ministry. I have no other ambitions in life but to achieve excellence in the Christian ministry. I don't plan to run for political office. I don't plan to do anything but remain a preacher. And what I'm doing in this struggle, along with many others, grows out of my feeling that the preacher must be concerned about the whole man. The preacher, the man of God, that's the way he wanted to be remembered." I've got some of my favorite Martin Luther King quotes, and since I'm up here, I get to choose. So these are the ones I want to read to you today. It says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. Let no man," this is one I struggle with still today, "let no man pull you so low that you hate him. Let no man pull you so low that you hate him. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Strong, because when an injustice is done in the middle of the city of Chicago, or if it's done in St. Louis, or if it's done in Detroit, if it's done right here in the middle of Kansas City, that means there's an injustice to us all, not to just the particular person or people that it's happening to at that point in time. All lives matter, because we're all under the umbrella of Jesus Christ." Amen? So, but there is a prevalent saying, I heard someone say that all the houses on the block matter. Everybody in the neighborhood matters. Right? We're a neighborhood, and everybody's houses matter. But when that one house catches on fire, where do we go? We go to help that house that's on fire. Stay with me. Understand what I'm saying. So no matter who's in that house, what people are in that house, that's your neighborhood. Let's go help. I think that's what we need to get from this thing, this racism. There's a huge gap, and we need to close that gap. I think the things that Martin was saying back then are so prevalent today. Let's not lose them. Let's not just put them in some frame. These are words from a man from God. He's speaking to you from God, no matter what color he is. He wants you to understand, I am a man of God first, and everything fell underneath this love thing. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other, and they don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. That's today. It hasn't changed. Ain't nothing changed. We just need to be stronger on the attack. They're going to continue to take your Christian values and take them away from every little thing. And if you just sit there and get walked on, they're going to continue to step all over you. Quiet Christians, start speaking up. Start talking up. Your rights. Your rights. You have them too. Don't give them away. Hold true to them. They're here. They're here, and he asks us to speak up. He asks us to take his word from all to all four corners. How can you sit there and not tell someone about the good news, about the word? If you're feeling good about the word getting into you, and you sit there and you don't give it to anybody else, shame on you. Selfishly, shame on you. This is something everyone is supposed to get. I speak it every day. I try to speak it every day. I check myself. When are you going to say something about Christ today? In the grocery store, say something. Let's not be quiet anymore. The influences on this man came early in his life, and he stuck true to those beliefs. I took a look at the most famous speech, and everybody knows it, I Have a Dream. I took a look at that speech and analyzed that speech. Even in that speech, these are the ones that I found, there may be more, there were three references to biblical verses in that speech. The first one was Amos 5:24, but let justice roll on like a river of righteousness, like a never failing stream. And I looked at that, and here's the thing again, when I was taught this speech, I never knew there were biblical verses or references in this speech. Why wasn't I taught that? Galatians 3:28, 29. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night. Say it with me if you know it. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. They changed his name. His father changed his name. Growing up in the South, these are all influences. Going back to the black church and black schools and going to college and seeing integration. He saw a life that he experienced, and he experienced that he had never experienced before. They start to change him. But the one thing he stayed true to was that belief in Jesus Christ. I say to you today, there are ways that we can make change. And we can do them through verses. We can do them through songs. We can do them through just going out and speaking to people. So you ask yourself, where do you start? Start right where you are. You were born for a purpose, for such a time and day as this. Not to underestimate. Martin Luther King was a man just like you and me. That's what he was. He was brought and born in a time where he was needed for such a time as then. And what he was, he was obedient. I know God's calling each and every one of us to do something. Listen to him. What's your passion? Everybody has to have a passion. A man has yet not lived until he's figured out what he's going to die for. What's your passion? Let every day of your life be based on biblical principles and morals. Biblical principles and morals. Deuteronomy 31 tells you that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Colossians 3:23 tells you this. Do everything, everything as if you were employed by the Lord. All that you do, do it as if you were employed by God. And here's something I think that rang true with Martin Luther King too in 1 Peter 5:2-3. He was entrusted with the flock. God gave him a certain amount of people that entrusted in him. And as he became this good shepherd, they all became underneath his tutelage. He had to teach them, but those words came from God. The "I have a dream" speech was awesome. But I want you to leave you with this too today, is that I think when Martin said, "I have a dream," I think that was God's dream. I think Martin said, "I have a dream," but the dream had him. When he dreamed about black children and white children holding hand in hand and going to school together, that's God's dream. That's what Christ put on his heart. We all have dreams too. God speaks to us. You just have to listen. I have a dream that one day, and one day part of his dream has come true, but we have so much further to go. But it's not going to be a president that gets you there. I'm sorry to tell you that. The only way that this racial gap that we have in the city and inner city is going to be affected and cured is with this. It's going to be affected by Jesus. And that Jesus walking around is you. See, I used to tell people when I was coaching, man, public schools, you can't bring the Bible out. They used to, "Coach, you can't bring the Bible out on the field." Don't bring the Bible out on the field. You're the Bible. So when you step out of these doors today, you are Christ's word, the church. It's time for the church to be beyond those four walls. It's time for them to speak up. The civil rights movement did not get going until the church got going. You have to understand that these four walls in here are awesome, but outside is where change is going to be made. And it doesn't matter how black you are, or how white you are, or how Hispanic you are, or how smart you are. It matters about the word of Jesus Christ, our God that's instilled in us, and we share it with others. I ain't talking about screaming and smacking them over the head with the Bible. I'm talking about sitting down and talking with someone outside of your race, someone not your same age. Break conversations with people. You will never know me if you don't talk to me. You will never understand me if you haven't put my shoes on and walked with me. So how is it that we want to rally up and scream and holler about this and other when we haven't talked to those people? We haven't talked about that subject. And we're so scared to talk about racism. It ain't going to get cured until you talk about it. I have people I know that don't like white people. Why don't you? I don't know, man. I just don't like white folks. Have you talked to one? They're awful nice. This is the thing. You walk around, you see a black athlete, and you don't like black people because of him. I ain't him. Talk to me. I'm a nice guy. This is what we have to understand. Communication through Jesus Christ will cure all. Amen. There has not yet been a problem that my God can't solve. So what are we waiting on? What is your dream? What's your passion? Personally, I'm going to tell you mine. I stepped down as head football coach at Summit Christian Academy last week. It was a shocker to a lot of people. The school's growing. We got lights on the football field. We got a track coming. The school, as a football team, we won 21 out of our last 25. We ended up in the final eight this year. And crazy Coach Van is walking away. Stupidity, right? Wrong. I'm going to be obedient to my God. My God is asking me to come to the city. In a time where everybody's running out, my wife and I are going to look crazy enough to run in. It's only because I've decided to be obedient. I started studying the book of Jonah. I started reading about Jonah, and he was asked to go to Nineveh, and he said no. Things don't go good when you tell God no. So I read that story, and I saw how he went 2,500 miles another way. Oh, I ain't stupid. You ain't going to have to spit me up out of no whale, and I'm just going to do what God asked me to do. Today, I ask you to look deep into your heart and just do what God is asking you to do. Simplify your life by getting into the Word daily. It says to meditate on this. When you get out of the Word, it's done. You're done. When you get out of what God has prepared for you, you're done. Oh yeah, you can come back. He's the only coach in the world I know that if you do anything, he's going to allow you to come back on his team. I may kick you off and say, son, you're done. But my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my God, will always let you back on his team. So if you're not on his team right now, and you're running solo, and you think times are so low and things ain't going right, we got a team for you. It's God's team. Come and join us on that team. We don't have roster limitations. We'll continue to take as many as we can. God wants you to win one over. Get another person on your team. I look at God, he's the most successful multi-level marketing person there is in the world. He's got levels, and you continue to get people. He started with 12, right? And look what he's got now. Oh my God, what a marketing plan. So I'm asking you, if you're struggling today, we'll be out there. Guest Central. We're willing to talk to you. We want to talk to you. Martin had a dream, but I think the dream had him. I have a dream. God's put that dream on me. Again, I ask you, what's your dream? What's your passion? Are you still going to sit down and do nothing? Are you going to be quiet? Because silence is guilty. If you know what's going on and you're saying nothing, shame on you. I'm not asking you to go out and be this big civil rights movement person, but at your job, in your family, men, if you're supposed to be the leader, be the leader. But lead with this. Lead with this. Change that young boy's mind right now. Get him started right now. Because when he's 25, 26, 20, it's too late for you. You've lost your chance. Only God can get him then. But you got a chance to get him right now. Father, thank you for this time in front of this people. Lord, you always work. I'm going to let them know now this wasn't the way I was going. But you brought me here and you got the words out of my mouth. I appreciate each and everything that you've done. Lord, our dreams are your dreams. You're just going to use us to get them across. I know you didn't need Martin Luther King to do what he did. You just asked him to do it. You're God. You could have done it yourself. You ask us to do things. We just need to be obedient. Lord, put your hand of greatness upon each and every one listening today. Give them something to strive for. Open their eyes to their passion. Open their eyes to their dreams and allow them to go for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.